everyone, welcome to episode 57 of Team Treetops podcast. I'm Annie.
And I'm Philippa, and this is the official podcast of the Team of Treetops book review blog. Today is Wednesday and it's September 20. Nearly the end of the year, I reckon. It feels like
we've still got months to go. It's still like 90 days until Christmas.
I feel like I'm on the final countdown.
Oh, okay. Well, that's good.
It's
anyway.
Because I'm on the final countdown of semester. Yes.
Right. Well, in this episode, we're going to talk about, as we have been in the last few episodes anyway, but we're going to talk about some TV and film adaptations that are going to be coming out sooner or later that have been announced. And we'll have a big catch up because basically we haven't seen each other for a couple of months anyway, so we better talk about
I feel
about
like the entire doing. Game of Thrones season like aired and we didn't even have a single podcast. It can't be that bad, but it feels like it's been that bad.
Well, maybe we could have a bit of a spoilery talk about that today. Do you remember what happened?
I remember what I was not impressed with. So, yes, I have things that I could vent about.
Good. Okay. Well, before we talk about the TV and film adaptations then. Shall we just talk about what we've been reading and then we'll go on to Game of Thrones spoilers after that?
That sounds good. Do you want to start with what you've been reading or do you want me to start?
Okay. Well, before we start that, can I just say that if you enjoy listening to our podcast and you'd like to help us out and caffeinate us because, you know, at this stage in the semester, we kind of really need it. You can go to teamthetreetops.com and there's a button there that says buy us a coffee and you can give us a few dollars to buy ourselves coffee and that would be amazing if you could do that. Thank you. So, all right, what have I been reading? So I think last time I was just about to start Assassin's Fate by Robin Hobb, which is the final book in her latest trilogy.
I think you had started it, but I think it was a pretty big book. So it was slow going.
800 pages and it's a brick. And it was great. Mm-hmm. It was pretty slow going through the middle, but it was a big journey. So that kind of happens with books like that.
Yes.
But if you're a fan of the original Fitz series, like, you know, all of the Fitz trilogies, then you'll love
this.
He's
still a pincushion and punching bag and everything that could go horribly wrong.
And so is the little girl.
Oh, God, don't tell me.
So it's hard to read sometimes, but the ending is very like satisfying, even though it's quite sad.
I'm just going to put it out there. I'm on this Facebook group, which has got lots of Australian authors in the Facebook group called Your Kids Next Read. And there was a post on there about being unsure about whether or not to let their 13-year-old read Game of Thrones, considering the graphicness. And someone suggested, don't let them read that.
About this last
let
time.
Them read Robin Hobb. And I'm like, you won't let them read Game of Thrones because you think it's too gruesome, but you'll let them read that. You do not remember those books. They are very depressing. And it's
they are
like,
and graphic.
That's right.
Yep.
Anyway, I thought that was
You'd
funny.
You'd be horrified?
Well, I think some people just... Game of Thrones has that buzzword and the TV show and gratuitous, you know, violence and all that. So I think people think it's the worst. I'm sorry. There's a lot of very graphic and I think people forget that, you know. Anyway. I was a bit shocked. I'm also a believer that you don't filter anybody's reading anyway.
Yeah, that's
but,
right. Let them
yes.
read what they want to read. Well, it's
you've,
worth a
you've
read.
Done.
If I'm fairly certain that she could write some more in that universe, but
you think
I don't
it's done?
Know. It would be a stretch, maybe.
Okay.
But anyway, it's great if you enjoy the ongoing kind of trilogies. There's like 15 of them or something now. The books, but it's worth a read.
Okay.
And then I went on and read Vigil by Angela Slatter, which is a paranormal mystery sort of thing.
A little less heavy?
Yes. well, sort of. It's quite graphic as well at times, but it's actually set in Brisbane.
Oh, there you go.
So Verity is this young girl who is half, let me think. The paranormal people are called Weird, like W-E-Y-R-D, and they're all different types of creatures that live in Brisbane.
I thought that was pronounced Word,
W-Y-R-D.
Is that what you said?
It's got an E after W-E-Y-R-D.
Okay, so it's not like a word. Okay, all right. Yeah.
Anyway, that's just how I say it. Maybe I haven't actually met her yet.
That's all right.
No, I didn't go. We were going to go to the launch, but it was on the same night as something else, and we didn't get to go.
Yeah.
But anyway, and so there's loads of creatures, but most of them are like glamoured and whatever, so we don't know that they're there.
Do they go down Queen Street Mall?
Yeah, absolutely. And they own they own this one sort of like a cafe in West End that is owned by these three women who are like the fates kind of thing. And
are
like,
you going to go in there and say, do you know you're a...
It's, well, it's not real. But they do.
No, but she does say, you know, but you're now a scene in a book.
Yeah, no, that, I mean, the cafe's not real. It's a made-up cafe.
Oh, so it's not an actual cafe. But they do have... Yeah.
She does mention, like, a load of places in Brisbane, like the gun shop cafe, for instance, in West End.
Yeah.
And, that is mentioned. And, like, you know, Customs House and, you know, different places. And also the seat of the council of the weird in Brisbane is City Hall. But you go through into this alternative, like, reality to get to their, like, council chambers.
There
it's
you just, go.
It's really... It's, well, sort of stitched in with the real Brisbane.
Yeah.
And it's exciting. It's an exciting story. But there are, you know, kids going missing, and it's a bit, I don't know,
dark.
It might be a bit dark for some people, but I enjoyed it. I wrote my assignment on it and I got a good mark for it, so I was happy. Okay, and I actually have read a bit in the last couple of months, after all. I read Heart of Mist by Helen Shearer, who's an Australian author. And this is like one of the best self-published fantasy books that I've read in a really long time.
How did you get onto this one?
Helen actually sent it to me herself. She was asking some book bloggers if they wanted to read it, and I'm really glad I did because it was awesome.
Excellent.
So there's this urchin girl who is she can hear people's thoughts, and there's certain other things she can do, but the king suddenly wants to see her, so she comes and gets kidnapped. She's like an orphan.
Yes.
She gets taken by these soldiers, but then they get sort of waylaid in the wilderness by this group of kick-ass women who are basically Amazons, but they're called something else. I can't remember the name of them now, but they live in the trees, and they're like these awesome warriors. And it's a really complicated story, but really worth it if you like epic fantasy. It's like, it's great. And there's going to be more. It's like an ongoing series. So Heart of Mist, give that one a go. And then since then, I've been on a bit of a contemporary kick, which I don't normally do. But in this case, I'm going to be on Aussie radio show on ABC Radio with Rhianna Patrick on the 1st of October, because Jean from Happy Indulgence, who's usually on there, just got married and she's going on honeymoon, so I'm going to fill in. So
you're going
either listen live on Sunday night, October 1st, or you can listen later on the website. So we're going to be talking about Beautiful Mess by Claire Christian, who won the text prize for this year, or for last year, I think it was 2016. And it's a book about these like two people in high school who are, one of them has just lost her best friend to suicide.
Okay.
She was depressed and whatever, but no one knew.
Yep.
And she committed suicide. So she's dealing with the tragic sort of grief. And then this guy that she meets has recovered from, well, not recovered, but he's been very anxious and depressed before, and he's dealing with it now. He's in a much better place now. And they meet and kind of help each other out. So, and it's got a bit of a romance, and it's
got a beautiful cover.
It does have a beautiful cover. So the whole point of the cover is it's got, if you see the real cover, it's got the shiny gold foil bits.
Is it all
there.
Cracked?
So it's cracked, and then in Japan, the broken pieces of pottery are being mended with gold, because what's broken.
I didn't know that. Okay.
The breaks make things, like, if they can be more beautiful when they've got, they've been broken and put back together.
So it's
the gold makes them more beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't explain that very well, but yeah, the idea. I enjoyed that one. I'm going to be talking about it. And
it gets
very
good reviews by
the
looks.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And the other one is called A Semi-Defined List of Worst Nightmares.
Semi-definitive?
Yes, thank you. Semi-definitive List of Worst Nightmares, Crystal Sutherland. I haven't started reading that one yet, but I'm going to. I have, like, it's my next read.
Yep.
And I also, so I'll talk about that later, or, you know, next time. I also started reading.
Before Christmas?
I know, like, when are we going to do this again? Oh, God. I also started reading God's Grave by J. Christoph.
Yep.
Which is the second Nevernight book.
Is that actually officially out?
Yes.
Okay.
It came out like 2 days before the Brisbane Writers Festival.
Yep.
And so poor Jay had a launch in Sydney on the Thursday, a launch in Melbourne on the Friday. And then he flew to Brisbane on Saturday. So he did pretty well on Saturday considering. But I've read like the first few chapters and then I had to put it aside so I could read these other things. But
I'm going to have a think about how things ended.
She's basically out for revenge now in this second one. Well, she kind of was before, but
she's left the school, basically, hasn't she?
Yeah, because she finished her training or whatever.
Sort of. It kind of all went to blur.
Yeah. Yeah, so she. If you haven't read Nevernight, it's assassin
blur.
Training.
That's a very succinct way of putting it. Sorry.
Have you been writing assignments?
I need some caffeine and I need some sleep.
So, yeah, lots of blood and guts and...
Yes.
Yeah.
I wonder if I read this one because I think I audiobooked the first one.
Yeah, so you didn't get the footnotes.
I didn't get the footnotes. And it wasn't that it was bad, but I wasn't a fan of the voice.
Oh, okay.
So I'll need to see if it's the same voice.
Mm-hmm.
Because I just don't think I can listen to it. Like, they're not little books, if you know what I mean.
No, that's right.
I think I can do a whole.
If you're not enjoying the voice, then there's no point.
It's just, yeah. Anyway, I'm sure it's a great voice, but just didn't do it for me. Yeah.
Okay.
Anyway.
Well, I'll get back to that one. But I'm desperate to read Tower of Dawn, which is the, like, sixth Throne of Glass book.
Is this the Cale
Sarah
one?
Sarah J. Maas. It is the Cale one, and I'm really excited to read it, but there's just too many books at the moment.
This is how out of it I am. I'm so horrified at myself, but this does not in any way pick up from where the last book ends, does it?
No, it takes parallel. Place
parallel.
Yeah.
I'm really disappointed.
Oh, why?
Because I really want to know. Like, everyone, I don't know. I just thought it was all such a really clever ending and how she...
Yeah.
Anyway.
Well, yeah, you have to read the end of Queen of Shadows again to find out what's going to happen previously.
I haven't got time to do a reread. I reread them all last time, I think. And...
Well, I like the cover. What happened.
I like the cover.
The cover is really pretty. And actually...
Yeah, I know it doesn't match, but I don't know, that's upset some people. Jean.
Yes. But I went into the shops to buy it and I saw the hard covers and I was like, oh, that's so beautiful.
Yeah.
But I was... I bought the paperback to go with the rest of them.
Okay. Are there still Cale fans that think that she should be with Cale? Because, you know, when I did...
I don't think she should be with Cale. I just love Cale.
When I did the reread of it all, I was like, yeah, that was never going to last.
No.
There was only one scene that made me think they actually deeply cared for each other. Most of it, actually, they didn't. It's like, I guess... I don't know. It's like, this is totally unrelated and showing my age here, but in Sex and the City, I always thought she was meant to be with Ada, but when I did a rewatch of the whole thing, beginning to end, I was like, nah, she was not for you.
Okay.
He was for me. He was not for you. Like, you got the right person in the end. Well, anyway.
I hope that Cale comes out of this one with, you know, a better lot than he's had so far.
Because no one wants to listen to the whinging anymore.
I didn't think he was that whingy.
He was pretty bad.
All right, we'll argue about this later when we've both read the book. whenever that will be.
Yep.
And then we can have a spoilery podcast.
Mm-hmm.
All right, well, have you been reading much?
Oh, gosh. I haven't really, but I think it's been so long, I actually do have something to say. So I think last time I was on my Laura Ruby double read. I've never read anything of hers, so I read two things of hers at the same time. So both York and Bone Gap, both of which were excellent. I loved York. I think any Harry Potter fan would probably really enjoy it. Totally unique, totally different, but it's got that sort of, I don't know, steampunk, alternate New York, bit of magical realism. It was awesome. Just great, but it's in that real middle grade adventure type. They've got to get this. They've got to solve the mystery. So it was just excellent. I wish my daughter was old enough to read it, but she's not there yet, if you know what I mean. It is more full on than the first Harry Potters. Okay. I also read a review copy of The Dazzling Heights by Catherine McGee. So that's the sequel to The Thousandth Floor. So they're a unique premise. It's an interesting idea. It's set in it's a very futuristic sort of science fiction world, but really it's a contemporary friends, girls, cattiness, bitchiness.
Oh, right.
Do you know what I mean? Like it's a futuristic background with a lot of high school dramas for elites. It's kind of like Gossip Girl in the future, like, you know, a futuristic version of that. It was enjoyable. It wasn't deep and meaningful. It wasn't unique. It is. Maybe not quite that binge-worthy, but it's still good. I'm glad I read it. I think for anyone looking for something a bit light and fluffy, likes a bit of light science fiction, definitely worth picking up.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, and then I went from that onto the other end, which was Scorpio Races by Maggie. Yeah. I can never say her last name.
Stivata,
that's it. So I actually had a review copy of that back in like 2012.
Really?
I finally read the book in 2017. It only took me, maybe it wasn't 2012, maybe it was 2013. Anyway, whenever it came out, I had a review copy of that book and I've just read it. And I regret not reading it then because it's an excellent book.
Mm-hmm.
It is just, it's so funny because I feel like not much happens in it, but it's so rich and it's so interesting and the whole premise is so unique. It's just, I loved it. I loved every second of it.
I just need to read it. I haven't read it yet.
It's very good. And I would class it as magical realism too. So I feel like I've gone on a bit of a magical realism bend.
Yep.
And I quite like the genre. I know it doesn't do it for everybody. But I think, the entire time I'm like, is this a real place or is this not a real place? Like, it was just that real fine line. But it was interesting reading in her acknowledgements how she came up with the premise and how she had originally, like, years and years and years earlier, tried to write a story about these water horses, which come from some myth, and couldn't do it. And in the end, she still wrote the story, but it's not actually really about the water horses. It's really a character. It's really a character driven story. It was beautiful. Yeah, read it. It's
okay,
good.
I'll try. Remember.
Yes,
I've actually got an art copy that I picked up from the Lifeline Book Festival thing.
Oh, there you go, of it.
Yeah,
and at the moment I've been trying to listen to audiobook of Replica by Lauren Oliver for probably the last 3 or 4 weeks, and I keep falling asleep in the first like 2 chapters, and that's nothing to do with the book. It's just my life. What can I say? I will get there. I will get there. Well, no, because I'm not driving into uni or anything now. I am public transporting it, but I'm in the sardine carriage.
Yeah.
By the time I get on, I don't generally, and I'm on for such a short trip, it doesn't happen.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is a bit sad.
Yes. All right.
Are you reading? Did you say what you were reading currently?
Yeah. I've got God's Grave.
Oh, God's Grave, that's right. Oh, yeah, you've got heaps.
Definitive. Yeah, there's a lot going on.
You've got heaps.
And I bought loads. So I haven't talked about the Writers' Festival. I'd actually spend hardly any time in the main festival itself. I was volunteering, but I saw one sort of session on Thursday with Jackie French.
Yeah, she writes children's books, doesn't she?
Yeah, and sort of they are a bit YA kind of as well. And she was very engaging. And she was talking to a bunch of high school students.
Yeah.
And because she was talking about wartime stories, and she kept saying, like, that Hitler didn't start out as a bad guy. He just, he thought he was doing the right thing, but he was, you know, not obviously doing the right thing, but you have to be wary of people who are trying to make you angry about something. Like, they're not doing it for you, they're doing it for themselves, and she's going on this big rant.
Yeah, okay. And I'm like, I get her perspective.
And I was like, this is a bunch of high school students. Yeah, yeah. The history is written by the winners. Like, it gets written, it gets changed depending on who's writing it.
Look, don't get me wrong. I get what she's trying to say. He's probably a bad example. But it's like the swastika symbol. It was not originally an evil symbol.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It was originally like a fertility symbol in ancient India like or something. And the thing is, now we just identify it as a hate.
Yep.
But it could actually still be from a cultural perspective, you know, from somebody else's culture. It's nothing to do with that.
Which it was a very inspiring speech and, you know.
Oh, hopefully.
But it was just that, I was sort of thinking like these high school students are here to learn about writing. I'm not sure if this is what they're here for. But, you know, they're getting a great lecture on, thinking critically.
Yeah. Exactly.
So, yeah, that was pretty cool. But then on the Saturday we had the Love Ya Day, as we usually do, and this time was just all Aussie authors, so we had
and I missed it.
It was really good fun. So it was just all, we had Amy Kaufman and Jay Kristoff came back again. They were here last year and they were talking about basically the final writing process LMA. and all that stuff, most of the same stuff that they talked about last year. But they're really engaging, like, in their...
They're great. Yeah, they're great. Really, Amy Kaufman's excellent to listen to.
So Maria Lewis was doing all the panel facilitation, whatever. She was really great. So she's the one who wrote that Who's Afraid, the book, the werewolf book. Okay. I don't know if you remember that one, but I read it a couple of years ago. And she's a great, like, speaker as well. So that was really good fun. So the other people we had were Kimberly Starr, Claire Christian was there, who wrote Beautiful Mess I was talking about earlier, and Meg Caddy wrote Where, who was another werewolf book that... did you read Where?
No.
Yeah, that was a good one. I enjoyed that one. And also Garth Nix was the main event. So
yeah.
Has
he got a new book out too?
A while ago, but yeah, okay. I think he might have been writing some more kids' books these days, okay. So he's got a few of them around the place. But he's like a really great speaker too. He's very casual, like just telling us all about... He just says what's on his mind, basically. It was really funny. So there was a great panel with Amy, Jay and Garth and Maria. And they talked about...
What was it called?
I think it was a fantasy, making fantasy world, like creating worlds. Mm-hmm. And very engaging. That was a really packed session as well, so it was good. But... So, yeah, that was, 2 weeks ago now?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe last week. I'm losing track of time. I can't keep up with stuff.
I think it was before was it 3 weeks ago? Because I think it was right as my exams were.
It was September 9. So it was only 2 weeks ago. Yeah. Okay. Anyway. All right, so TV shows. Most of these are TV shows.
I was going to say, did you end up watching Handmaid's Tale?
I still only watched the first few episodes. I haven't had a chance to watch the rest of it. I should.
Because it was excellent.
Yeah. It just won lots of Emmy Awards, didn't it?
Yeah. Or are we going to talk about that on the next one? And then we've just
talked about it last time.
Oh, off you. Yeah, okay.
Because I read the book.
Okay, that's right. That's right. Yeah, well, Big Little Lies won.
Did it? Yeah.
Stuff too. Nicole Kidman won her.
Oh, she did. Okay.
She won that. Best Supporting or whatever it is for that.
So I found this, I found an article, I will link it in the show notes, but it's about a bunch of different book series that are being made into film or TV.
And they were all science fiction.
Yeah, so the main one, I mean, it's exciting that Game of Thrones has done so well, not just Game of Thrones, but other things like Westworld and, Handmaid's Tale for one.
Yeah.
Have been given so much budget that they've been made more epic in scope, so they've got a lot more
I think what you're trying to say is special effects etc are now a lot cheaper, so you don't need to have the massive budgets to necessarily pull off, and the big production company is willing to back you to pull off these exceptional.
So not too long ago, you wouldn't be able to make such a thing as Game of Thrones like that. Like, you might have made it and it just wouldn't have been.
Well, as don't epic you remember what a gamble it was all seen as at the beginning?
Yeah,
and it was seen as such as a gamble.
Yeah, not as epic as the latest ones have been, obviously.
Oh, it was still pretty Damn, I still think that opening scene where they go across the wall is just such a good startup.
I can't remember that long ago.
And they meet the like that young girl, the wildling, who's got the blue eyes. You know, I don't know. I think it's just an excellent beginning. It hooks me anyway.
Yeah, well, obviously a lot of people were hooked, like I was too. But anyway, so now we've got the scope to be able to for a lot more epic series to be made
into TV. And there's proof. It's kind of like law. Now it's been done.
Yes.
Like, you know, what's it called in law, legal speak? I can't think of it. Precedent.
Precedent, yeah.
There's precedent.
Well, we can only hope
I'm not a lawyer.
That the ones to come. It's okay, you've got medical terms in your brain, not law terms. We can only hope that the ones that they're going to make are going to be as epic as you know, these ones like the Westworld and that too. So the main one they were talking about, the headliner was N.K. Jemisin's the fifth season series.
Mm-hmm.
So
I don't know it.
I've been meaning to read these because they sound amazing, but it's going to be made into a series by TNT, so for TV.
Mm-hmm.
So that it's a world where a mega continent is breaking apart and setting off volcanoes and earthquakes, basically. So there's, I'm just reading a bit of a blurb here. The planet's only hope comes from an oppressed underclass of people known as Origines, who can control geophysics with their minds.
Mm.
So I don't know.
So they can control it. So why aren't they stopping this from happening?
Well, I don't know.
Are they causing it? Do they have do they have someone betraying them?
You have to read to find out. I'll have to watch it
because there ain't any chance I've got time for an epic science fiction trilogy.
One thing I don't know about any of these, even though none of them are in production yet, I'm pretty sure some of them have got directors and, you know,
a team together. It could all still fall through,
but they're not actually being made right now, and there's no release date yet. So anyway, there's a main character whose mind has been shattered by trauma. But she's the only person who understands how to stop the dangerous fifth season of fire, ash, and starvation. So
you mean kind of like how Earth is going at the moment? Sorry, this is... If you go to Singapore and you go into the cloud forest at the very lowest level, it's got this video of how the Earth's going to be in the future if we keep destroying all the cloud forests of the world.
Cheery.
It was very depressing.
Hmm.
Well, sorry, that was just a really random side note.
Okay.
Feel free to delete it.
No, that's okay. So, yeah, the fifth season, I can't remember what... I think the book is actually... The first book is called The Fifth Season.
Okay.
And it's a trilogy. The last one has just come out or is about to just come out. And it sounds amazing and I want to read it now during that. There's also... There are three novels in Octavia Butler's Xenogenesis series, which are to be made into a TV series, hopefully, which is post-nuclear war, Earth is uninhabitable.
It sounded excellent, this one, I thought.
The survivors are rescued by aliens, and so it's revolves around character-driven moral choices rather than... Okay, so this is where I've made some notes. So up until recently, the sci-fi... movies with big blockbuster like Independence Day, like all action had to be very action-packed.
There's a hero and it's all and there's a bad guy and it's all very formulaic.
That's right. And sci-fi audiences would have been pretty reluctant to watch something that was character driven and relationship driven, basically. Now we have a lot more slow paced Westworld, Handmaid's Tale.
Westworld is just a complete moral...
Yeah,
it's just where is your moral compass? What would I don't? It's excellent. I don't know. I'm a big fan of that show. I want the second season.
So yeah, these series that are coming out or going to be coming out are probably not going to be quite so action packed, but more character driven sort of, and just happen to be set in a strange place, like a futuristic kind of world. Then there's Patrick Rothfuss, The Name of the Wind, Kingkiller Chronicles. And I love that first book. I haven't read the second one yet.
Yeah.
I just keep meaning to get to it, but you know how it is with piles of to be reads. Lin-Manuel Miranda is developing it.
I haven't read it, but that made me excited.
So the Name of the Wind is...
he just touches things and it turns to gold.
So which I expect it will very be excellent. Excited because Name of the Wind is like a magical realism fantasy world, I'm pretty sure. It's been a while since I read it, but basically the guy who's the main character is telling his story to someone else. And he's like a wizard guy who can do magic, but you never know whether he's just exaggerating when he's telling the story. Like, did he really do this thing or is he just making that up for the story, which makes it really interesting. So I'm...
Is Lin-Manuel Miranda going to be in it? I hope so.
I
hope so.
So the article said it was being developed for film and TV. So I don't know whether that means if that was a typo. Like, did you just mean TV, or is there going
to
be a film
maybe the
first
rights have been bought
TV?
For both?
Like, maybe, yeah.
And
they
he's
just haven't
deciding how he's going to do it.
Maybe, but that would be one to watch. I think that would be a really interesting adaptation.
I have to admit, I hoped he was doing another a Hamilton musical sequel.
Is there more of that story to tell?
Well, there's nothing more to do with Alexander Hamilton because he's gone. But there's heaps to do with Aaron Burr, the vice president.
Okay.
He goes on the run, gets married into money, tries to start. He's got a very full-on life after, which is enough for a whole other musical. Like, could you imagine if a vice president of the United States just went on the run today?
Yeah, that'd be
after
pretty
shooting
crazy.
Someone.
And well, you
he's
know
still
how
the vice
things
president.
Go these
he's
days.
He's still the vice president
oh,
for
right.
a long time, and he won't surrender, and then he tries to stage a rebellion. He's got there's enough sordidness that
awesome.
There's a whole extra musical worth in there, and I was kind of like, we could do
did
another
musical.
Did you
end up reading that book about like the fan fiction type one?
No, I haven't been able to get my hands on a copy of it.
Oh, right.
I haven't looked very hard. I keep hoping it'll come out as an audio book, and then I can just listen.
Well,
I've taken a break from it, even though I just used words from the musical. But anyway, I have taken a break because I want to make sure by the time that this musical finally gets to Australia, I'm not totally over it.
I don't think you'll ever be over it.
It could be another year and a half or so, 2 years.
Yeah.
Apparently, they're doing Australia after London.
Oh, right.
But London's sold out for like 9 months in advance at the moment. I did look at tickets in case I go to Rome.
Oh, yeah.
They're at $10,000 each. $10,000? Like, I can't afford that. Something ridiculous
on
like
eBay
that.
Kind of thing.
There's like a Ticketek resale thing.
Wow.
It's like, that's not happening.
Yeah, no, I don't think so. All right.
I thought
to the TV.
Just so that you know, I did hesitate. I thought about it. I was like, but no.
$10,000?
No.
I don't think so.
Maybe it was $10,000 for two. I can't remember. But it was a lot of money.
How much are they at the box office?
Oh, they're probably only $120 to buy or something.
Maybe more than that in London. All right. So there was one more. There was one more book in this
Who Fears
series, which
Death
I thought was really...
Which is a HBO
Who Fears
one?
Death. Nnedi Okorafor. I'm really sorry I'm pronouncing that wrong. But so it's set in post-apocalyptic Sudan, which sounds really amazing.
Yes.
So it's a bit different from the usual European-based sort of fantasy
world,
or American, whatever. So the main girl who's, I'm not going to try and pronounce her name because I will definitely get it wrong, but she has magic.
Mm-hmm.
She her father is another powerful sorcerer, and they go out and do some magic in the post-apocalyptic world. So I might even try and get a hold of that one because it sounds amazing.
It does.
But it's being developed for HBO, and George R. R. Martin is going to be one of the producers for it.
Can he just finish writing his books?
He's got a lot of other stuff going on.
He doesn't really want to write. That's what I think. I think deep down he's not actually a big fan of writing.
I don't know. Maybe it's just too much pressure now, but
maybe.
HBO seems to want to keep him around. So
obviously,
plaster his name on some things, and but anyway, that book sounds really amazing. So
it does.
We have to give that
it
one
does.
A go at some point. So I was thinking about what other books I'd like to see made into TV shows, just randomly, and apart from actually, like Throne of Glass actually getting there, and
they better do a good job of that.
There's been no update. I've been looking around to see if there's. Any
Hulu's
update
doing
on the
it, but
production,
yeah.
but no, not yet. But I was like going on our book club recently, I would really love to see Lady Helen and the Dark Days Club made into a TV series.
You would?
Even with the tentacles.
Even with the tentacles. But what if they stuffed it up?
Yeah, they could stuff it up. But there are some really great period dramas out there that I think would just benefit from a few demons, you know? Well, they're not called demons, are they?
I think Illuminae is going to be good.
Has that actually been sold?
I think the rights have been sold, haven't they?
Oh, I wouldn't be surprised.
It would make an amazing movie. The rights have been sold. Let me see. Does it say anything here?
Probably not.
I don't know. I was under the impression that it was going to be made into a...
Yeah.
Into a...
I seem to remember us talking
about a series. What else would also be good? I think Cinder and the Marissa Meyer series could be an excellent one. They'd have to really pull it off though. Like
there's a lot of cyborg kind of, you know.
But it's sort of spaceships. But they have to really get the fairy tale elements to it. Like, yeah. Do you know what I mean? And they'd have to somehow blur the, like they'd have to redo it. So instead of you just follow one storyline, you're meeting all the characters at the beginning. Like they'd have to redo that timeline really well, so that you're getting invested.
That's right.
I think that could be an excellent.
And they'd have to make sure they cast the characters properly to be from different places, like yes. You know, the Chinese kind of...
The French, yeah, and Scarlet's and, French. Yeah, French, and, yeah. Yeah, they have to do that very well.
And the Lunars, what would they be like? Like being on the moon, that would be a challenge. Well,
you don't really know, do you? Because this is a thing.
Yeah, they're glamoured. They're glamoured, so that it'll be beautiful.
Yes, well, TV likes to do that anyway, so...
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you know, I actually think that the Three Dark Crown series would also make very good with the sisters.
Yeah,
I think that they could do it. Yes, it has. It would if it was done dark, but the whole poisoner aspect, there's something about that whole poisoner aspect that is really quite gruesome.
Yes. And I also thought, randomly, tangent, Paula Weston Requiem series would be really cool. Angels and demons and Aussie.
Yes.
The Aussie
surfing
filmmakers need to get onto that one.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of TV shows, we better have a chat about Game of Thrones.
Oh, yes.
Do you actually remember what happened?
I can tell you what I really was annoyed by.
All right, go on. Okay, spoiler alert, if you haven't watched... What series are we up to? Seven?
Seven.
Yeah, so if you haven't watched series seven, you can stop listening now, and thank you for listening.
Okay. Okay. I'm just going to put it out there. I don't think I'm alone, but after all these seasons and all of us talking about me saying John and Danny are going to hook up,
yeah,
I'm really, really disappointed with their chemistry. Oh. I find them awkward together.
They had that
little shagging scene at the end, I was just like, it's just the best you could come up with filming, like really, because it looked so awkward and uncomfortable.
Yeah, I thought the actual sex scene was pretty awkward.
I was like, this isn't chemistry, this isn't like deep and meaningful poses, this is just awkwardness.
Oh, I thought they were all right in the previously, and they were giving each other the hard eyes.
I think the only reason I knew that there was, like, I mean, I knew that there was going to be chemistry, like I knew that they were going to be hooking up, but they had to keep talking about it, and I don't think there was actually enough just natural, and I'm like,
it was all done very quickly, the acting
is just not there for it, and I'm a bit disappointed in you both, because this is the momentous thing that you guys had to, you had to sell it to me, guys, you're related, you had to sell it to me. You really did.
Yeah,
you might not know you're related.
And it didn't work. But
for me, as an audience who knows you're related, it needed to be sold. And it didn't work. And that has just really disappointed me. Anyway.
Well, I can't remember whether it was in the... Was it in that final episode that they all got together in that amphitheatre and they had the big meeting?
Was that the second last episode?
I can't remember. But that was amazing. Like, I was sitting there watching it and I had goosebumps. I was like, this is all... the whole series was culminating... in this one meeting where they're all together and they're all looking at each other and like, oh my God. And then the dragon comes in and just like,
I know.
And also, you know, that the amphitheater where they filmed that and they all walked in and I'm like, I think I've been there. And I have been there. It's in Seville, in Spain. That's, I was like,
awesome.
Oh, I've been there. And they also CGI'd some, you know, bits on it.
For the dragons to come. But
I
was just going to go,
I recognize that place.
That's awesome.
And anyway, it's a really cool, like, ruined amphitheater. But anyway. Yeah, I just thought that scene was just brilliant.
There were a lot of excellent scenes. I loved how they, and again, in the circle, it's kind of like a symbolic circle thing, like everything keeps coming around when they're all, when they that you think they're all going to die. Like, do you know what I mean? And they're just sitting there and they're just waiting for the ice.
Yeah.
Like, you know, for it to ice over, which you know is eventually going to happen. And and
poor symbolic
dragon.
Bits.
I'm sorry.
Oh, the dragon. Yeah, that was pretty amazing.
That was really well. That was a great ending too.
I mean, it was weird in those episodes where they were north of the wall, where they all just, there was a lot of talking in those episodes. Like, they're just walking along.
And but it's very
all
classic.
Of them are having their little
It's
chats.
Very classic science fiction / fantasy.
We're going on
going
a journey.
On a journey.
Yeah.
If you know what I mean. And the reality is it doesn't work for TV. So they have to, like, they cut a lot of it out. There would have been a lot, there must be a lot more in the books.
It was a stupid idea anyway to go, like, oh, well,
let's
go and get one.
I know, like, it was a dumb idea. But I guess they had to get all the players in the right place.
I don't know, but it was just a weird choice of story. Like, why
I'm glad Gendry
that?
Came back because we've been saying for seasons, Mark and I have been saying for seasons, like, I feel like he's pivotal to this.
Yeah.
He was built
and he's still
up.
Rowing his boat somewhere around there.
Yeah, like, what happened? But he was there, you know, I liked how he just went straight back undercover type thing.
And
he's
went,
got
he
a
just
role
went
to
straight
play.
Up to John or whoever it was and went, I'm the king's bastard, you know.
When we've got that in common.
Davos was like, can you just keep it on the down low, you know? He's like, I'm the king's bastard.
Well, I guess it's just like his father, really. That's what they're trying to... Because he's the only Baratheon, right? He's the only Baratheon
left.
Yeah,
he's the only true kind of... Well, mostly true. Yeah. Yeah, it was great. The last few episodes were just nail-biting, I thought.
Look,
well,
everything was...
Very
I thought everything about it was exceptional, except for the chemistry between those two.
Right,
and
okay.
The sad thing is, it's such a pivotal point to the ending of this series.
Yeah.
And I'm just really, really hoping that it builds well somehow later, because I don't feel like it's there.
And what did you think about Tyrion's little look at the end? He was looking a bit sad.
I couldn't tell if he was trying to get them together earlier, because he brought, like, you know, he was, again, because the relationship was so badly done from a chemistry perspective, he had that whole chat to her about heirs and, you know, Jon Snow's pretty handsome.
Yeah,
and I'm
like,
you're throwing it, you know, why are you throwing her at him? I guess it makes it neat. Maybe he knows something about his parentage.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
I don't know if that
but
was what
I,
that on
I
the
saw a theory. I saw a theory that he had actually betrayed them to Cersei earlier.
Something. I don't
because
feel
that
he has.
All resolved very quickly. Like,
I still
she,
don't
when she just came back and went, yeah, okay, I'll do it.
I don't think he has.
And then later she was like, are you kidding? I'm not really doing that.
I don't think he has.
Okay.
Because everyone talked about Sansa was going to betray Jon Snow this season, at the end of last season.
Yeah.
And she didn't. They tried to have that set up, but it was all set up to get rid of...
That was great.
Which was
great.
Good, except I knew it had happened beforehand because I watched the episode late. And I didn't know it for sure, but I was 99% sure because there was an article header about major
character
death with a picture of fucking Littlefinger. And I'm like, well...
Well, that's not really much of a spoiler, is it? No, I knew it was coming.
Spoiler-free.
Like, when...
They had to get rid of him because what's he doing to the story now?
And as soon as Arya walked in and... She walked up and went, are you sure you want to do this? I'm like, they're going to kill him.
Yeah.
And then they did. I was like, well, that was very satisfying.
He'd become a really boring character anyway.
Yeah,
he was such
a
good
weird.
Start and then he just sort of flopped.
He was creepy.
Does he flop in the books?
Well, he's still alive in the books. I mean...
I'm just going to put it out there. Technically, Tyrion's still married to Sansa, right? Even though she's been married again.
Oh, I don't know.
I never had it annulled.
Yeah, I have no idea. No, in the books, there, he's really pushing for the Vale. Like, I can't remember whether they're still in the Vale in the last book, but he's really manipulating her into, you know, trying to be a force on their own. Like, I don't think they. It'll be interesting to see in the next book how that's dealt with, because if they actually all go to Winterfell or not.
I don't know how they can develop the characters enough. And get it all wrapped up in one more season.
Well, that's the trouble with TV, isn't it? Because you don't get a lot of screen time, especially if you're only doing like five more episodes or whatever.
There's no, but they're each going to be an hour and a half. They're all going to be movie length episodes. That's what they've said.
Why are they doing that?
Because they've got specific plot points that they've mapped out that they want done. They've written the scripts, but they reckon they're going to work out to be about an hour and a half each. Look, at least that's something.
I couldn't believe how long the last episode was.
It's an hour 20 something,
I sat down
right?
to watch it. Yeah. I sat down to watch it at, like, after the kids had gone to bed. It was, like, 9 o'clock or something. And then it just kept going and going. And I was like, oh, my God, how long is this?
No, it was long. The last two episodes
It was good, though. Long. I was glad it was long because it gave them the time to do things like the Hound and Brienne getting back together and saying, oh, hey, you
know, that was
that,
good.
That was
yeah.
great. Yeah, I liked
like
that.
Like talking
and
about
Tyrion,
their little like, child type thing. That little
Tyrion and
murderous,
Bronn.
The little murderous Arya.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. And, yeah, Tyrion and Bronn getting back together. Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah we, you know, we're enemies now, whatever. But, yeah, they were just little touches that I thought were really well done.
Mm. It look, as I said, I enjoyed every second of it. I just really felt that chemistry and that all the scenes between John and Danny were awkward. Yeah. And that really disappointed it. And I normally like Jon Snow and I just found him a bit of a dolt. I don't know. like his broodiness just doesn't work if he's attracted to someone. It's just like, psh, psh, carry up. I don't know.
They were both a bit lovesick by the end. And yeah, because it all
she was
all so
a bit
quickly.
Funny too because they both weird. Used to being top dog and I'm like it just doesn't yeah. work that I don't know.
She was like okay.
And the phrase bend the knee, I was really over it. I yeah. just am like, oh, do we need to use the phrase bend the knee that often? Like really?
It's mostly because of all the memes people made from it.
Is it? Everybody... But I'm like, they should have not done it for that. It just irritated me. I don't know.
All right, we.
I can't believe I'll have graduated before I get to watch the final. Bloody Game of Thrones.
It's not coming
it's
until
be 18 months. It was 18
yeah,
months, and I was like, I will have graduated. That scares me.
Yeah, that's quite a long time away, though. A
bit depressing.
Hmm. But hopefully, we'll have some of these other great TV shows in the meantime.
Maybe. We'll see.
We'll have like another whole season and a half of Supernatural by then.
You will. You and your Supernatural obsession.
Oh,
did I manage?
Starting soon.
Did you actually finish Hamilton? Did you listen to it? Did you get through
it? I've listened most of it.
But did you actually get it? Or you haven't listened
to
it enough to get it? That's the problem.
I haven't gone into the obsession yet, no.
No, it needs a couple of listen-throughs to
yeah,
to understand the story.
When I do
because
listen
we don't
to
listen,
it.
We don't have any American history in our
no,
in our classes,
no.
so it's totally new for us.
When I do listen to it, I get the song stuck in my head.
Oh.
So, you know, that's one thing.
That is true.
And when we were listening to the Moana soundtrack the other day in the car.
You can tell now that it's him.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. yeah. And it got to the end of the soundtrack, or the end of a playlist maybe, and it went on to another song, and I was listening to it, and Matthew was like, what is this? It sounds a bit like Moana. I'm like, this is Hamilton. And it was one of the songs.
Yeah.
And I could only recognise it because he was singing.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, it sounds a bit like Moana. Anyway.
Mm.
All right, I think that's all we've got.
Okay, I'm ready for sleep.
Me too.
We'll see
it's
you
been
all
a busy week.
We'll see you all again before Christmas.
No, stop it. It's going to be before that. Okay, well, if you'd like to send us feedback, you can do that by emailing us, contact@teaandthetreetops.com, or you can tweet us @teatreetops or @oakandbookcase.
You can also find a list of all the books and other things we've talked about in this episode, as well as all of our book reviews at the Tea in the Treetops blog, teainthetreetops.com.
And you can find the button to buy us a coffee.
Which we desperately need at the moment.
Yes. Please. Thank you for listening.
Bye.
Bye.